won't let you sit down. That's how you know that this right here's your favorite song.
Now it's just coming up to 11:32, and joining me in the studio is actor Vic Waghorn. Now Vic spent 25 years in the construction industry before changing direction and careers, and for the past few years Vic has been chosen for many roles due to his skills both behind and in front of the camera. He does film work, he's been on ITV, BBC and Channel 4, and his career is going from strength to strength, and he's here today to give us all hope that it's never too late to make a change. So very good morning to you.
And good morning to you as well.
And I'm very happy because you brought in a massive packet of digestives.
Well, to share.
The likes I've never seen before. You were just tucking into one before I was about to go live on air.
Yes, thank you for that.
Now,
yes.
We do have to say a really good morning to Tracy, because that's how I know you.
Yeah.
We played Tracy, that was her song, favourite song before, and I've talked about her quite a lot on air. Where's she from, first of all?
Illinois, Chicago, yeah.
And how do you know her?
We just managed to bump into each other. There was a show, a film that she was writing music for. And it just took off from there, really.
Hmm.
And become friends ever since. Pretty nice person.
And she's back over in...
June, the 17th to the 26th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Sorry about my phlegm. I've got a terrible phlegmy throat. Have you had that cold yet?
No, because I keep eating digestives.
It takes the phlegm down. If you're eating your lunch, don't worry about it. So you were in construction for 25 years.
Yes. When I came out of the army, I went into construction and I stayed there for 25 years. Yeah, 25 years on and off. I'm actually based in Colchester.
Right. Yeah. I thought you stood up really straight. You can tell school teachers and you can tell people who've been in the army because I'm slumped over. They've all got really good straight backs.
Yeah, well, being an ex-doorman helps as well.
So you did 25 years in the construction industry and then suddenly you just thought, I don't want to do this anymore.
It was actually thrust on me where luckily I was made redundant. And again, luckily, my wife said, well, what do you want to do now? Because you don't have to work. So what is it you've always wanted to do? And just for a laugh, I said, well, I want to be an actor. And she kept a straight face and she said, well, go for it. And with support of my lovely wife, and that's how it came.
Did you go for sort of acting classes or did you join dramatics or did you just go straight in for going to an audition sort of blindly? How does it work?
Well, a little bit of research first, I mean, because I'd done it all myself. Believe it or not, I'm fairly shy. So I went online, done a bit of research. I went to one or two acting classes, went to RADA, but that wasn't full time.
Yeah.
But there was another class there, so I went there, evening class actually. Picking up work off of Darnell. Yeah, but you can't sit back and it doesn't come to you. If you want it, you've got to go and get it. It's as simple as that. So I'm on there and I'm hunting jobs. So I'd imagine out of every 100 applications, I might hear back from 10. And out of that 10, I might get to go to one.
So what happens if you're thinking about, you know, you've gone on for your first audition,
yeah,
and then the things you're not meant to do, in case you want to get into a film?
There's so many what you're not supposed to do, but most of it you'll learn yourself. Best advice I can give is you keep yourself to yourself and you don't gossip.
Right.
You listen and you learn. And you take it from there. Talk to the nice people and don't gossip.
Oh, God, I'd be ruined. I know, I don't gossip. I wouldn't gossip, but I'd like having a bit of a chat.
Well, you can do that.
Yeah.
And of course, there are those on set that have done everything with everybody, and they are the almighty.
Is it a bit like extras sometimes when you turn up? You remember the thing with Ricky Gervais where he was one of the extras?
I'll tell you what, Ricky Gervais hit that right on the head. That is, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I could even put names to characters, but I don't name drop. The very first job I went for, it was a film, I'm trying to remember the name of it now. It was a film, it was based on somebody's story, and that was based on an army story. That was okay. That was a non-paid job. That took a couple of years to make, but I met some really good people on there.
Mm.
Networking, and then from that, you expand.
We'll talk about the Killer Vicar in a while. There's a great picture on. If you want to check out Vic's website, we'll give you the details for it. But there's great pictures of you, and there's one of you done up as a priest with a gun. I was like, what's going on here?
Yes, yeah, I'm just advising the parishioners are supposed to be putting it in.
I tell you what, you get more people going to church if they actually did have that happening, wouldn't they, really? Just get in there now and listen to what I've got to say. But when you go along for an audition, do they say we've got a character, say it's a policeman, and he's been divorced, he might be a bit aggressive, and then do they sit you down and just say, you know, act against somebody, and you haven't really got any script, you kind of just do it off the top of your head, or it doesn't work like that?
It can do. They can give you the character that they would like to see, and then you play it. Then if the director likes it, then he'll say so. If he wants to play it a different way, then he'll advise you once you play it a different way. And if you're good enough, you might get a call back for a second audition. But you remember how the director wanted it in the first place, because then he might still want a little adjustment.
I remember working in London, I wasn't a model, sorry. Although I am 6 foot tall and blonde, as you can see on my
It's
all true. But there was a photographic studio next door, and they used to have all the models coming in, and these people were, male and female, beautiful. I mean, all of them beautiful, very tall, very young. And they go through with their books to the casting, and they'd be like, yep, thanks, out. Within literally queuing up for ages, and then out. You're not. And that is a similar way to the way that the acting world is. So you've got must have to develop a really thick skin.
Oh, definitely.
You're not right. Within.
Definitely. The only advice I could give, when you go for an audition, for a certain part, at the audition, you are that part.
Mm.
So, for example, if I was auditioning to be a nasty doorman, I would go dressed as a doorman, but I won't put the tie on until the actual audition time. You keep that in your back pocket, but
yeah.
You try to be what they want to see. Me personally, I keep it all to myself until the audition.
And then you get in there and knock and bandy. What's the best role you've had to date? What was the most enjoyable one?
It's a toss up between two, actually. One is Blue Iguana, which is being released in February. I did have some fun with that because the director allowed us poetic license, so we could play with it. And we did play with it, and I think people like that when it comes out.
And what's that about?
It's a gangster film, and if you can imagine Snatch and Lockstock on Hyper. Yes, something like that. But there's a comedy aspect to it. So we did have fun with that one. And the other one, well, that's a very serious film. It's really nice people I'm working with, and this one's called Ross's Boys. And that's where Tracy was going to do some music for that. But
And what's that about?
I'm playing the policeman there, funny enough. Superintendent Holland.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't give too much of the plot away.
I have quite a few sort of producers and different film people that do come in from time to time. And it's great the way now you've got those GoPro cameras, because years ago I remember knowing people at a film studio, and the cameras they had, I mean, they were probably about 50 grand's worth on their shoulders. You don't need that now, because it's accessible to people to actually go out and do short films, and you can edit at home. So it's a lot more easy for people. You don't have to be mega rich to actually put a little production together.
No, you don't. You can go out and do a bit of guerrilla filming, but you will never beat the professional camera, but you've still got to carry it on your shoulder. You still need an assistant to carry the line behind you.
Guerrilla filming, is that what it's called?
Yes, it's called, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Somebody please correct me if I'm wrong.
So, obviously, you said before, not a name dropper. Have you met or worked with people that... It's one of those things when you work with people that are famous, or you get to meet somebody that's famous, and then you're disappointed. Or they look a lot shorter. You're 6 foot one, so you must get a look most of my...
I was rather shocked when I met this one particular guy. You know who I mean, and he towers above me. But that was a shock.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was about the same size, but no. There are some really nice people. When I was doing some extra work, and always queuing up at the bus to get the chit signed at the end, and one of the main cast, his car was ready, and the driver opened his door for him. And he said, no, I want to say thank you before I get in. And he came around the underside of the car, and he addressed the complete queue, and he said, thank you, guys, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to do what I do now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's nice.
One of my friends works, I don't know, he'd like the props and stuff like that. And he's worked on a couple of films. He got into it because his brother was doing it, so he's a lucky thing. He goes all over the place. And he's worked on a couple of productions with Hugh Jackman. And because I was saying, well, that's more or less like I'm married to him now, because I know somebody who knows somebody who knows him. But he said that Hugh Jackman is one of the nicest people you could have on a set. Sometimes he buys lottery tickets at the end, so people think it's for lottery tickets. Yeah. But he's very like a down to earth, good laugh on the set. And do you find it's the bigger stars are nicer, and the ones that are maybe not so big are the ones that can be a little bit drama ish or not?
No, not really. No. It's across the board. You do get. You get lovies and everything else, really, but it's across the board. You don't have to be a certain person to be a certain person.
What would you do if you suddenly got like a role in a recurrent kind of show? What would that do for you? Would you be able to deal with the? We were talking about sort of the way that fame is, especially because we're both on Twitter. We love doing our little tweets and stuff. But we have fun. But as soon as you become a kind of celebrity, people tend to in this country for some reason just go at you.
Yeah.
Would you be able to cope with that?
I think so, yeah. I'll get a little bit of it now, and there's a little bit of backbiting. No, it's no problem. If they have a problem, then it's their problem. And if you react, then it becomes your problem, so don't react. Me personally, yeah. I've had nothing but 100% support from everybody I know. Everybody.
I'm going to send you a rotten text after this one.
That's all right. As long as it's got LOL on the end of it.
No, it won't be. You'll be like, oh, she's changed. She was ever so nice before. What film role would you have liked to have done? Out of all the films that you have seen, is a role that you think, I wish I could have played that role?
It's a very short film, one with Ray Winston. I'm not name dropping. There's not many people who know this film. It's called The Bouncer. It's a 15-minute short. I would love to have been involved in that film. So if anybody's listening, go onto YouTube, type Ray Winston, The Bouncer, watch it, and that's the role. That's the role. I would love to have done that. I think he made that in the late 80s. Being an ex-doorman, that's another guy that's obviously researched the role and has hit it on the head. It's brilliant.
Do you like doing straight or comedy?
Both.
Yeah.
Both.
in the same film.
What I do like, though, I get told off now and again when it comes to, well, the camera's getting settled or the sound's getting settled, and it's a very serious bit. Sometimes I do mess about. I do. And if it's taken about 8 takes and they still can't get it right, mm-hmm. and everybody's getting tense and fed up, then I'll do something, and it breaks that.
Because I loved Phoenix Nights, because that just reminded me of clubs, and that is the way the clubs were up north. It was just so funny. And I used to watch the outtakes, because there are people like Ricky Gervais is really bad for laughing through stuff. So do you ever get a situation where you just go, you can't get the line out for laughing?
Twice.
Yep.
Twice, but then you don't see them. You wouldn't see them, because one of them was supposed to have been a very serious moment.
Yeah.
And then it's okay, because at the time it took about 8 takes to get it right. Nobody could get it right, and I couldn't stop laughing because nobody could get it right. And then take 9, we got it right. So
when you're doing the camera work, it's one of those things, as soon as you see a camera, people have got a tendency, I know you've been to sort of training, but you've got a tendency to look at the camera, look at and look away. And sometimes I watch out for people in the background of films and stuff. I do do it quite frequently. I don't know if you do it at home, because I look at the main actor, I think, right, I don't want to look at Tom Cruise. I'm going to look at the people behind him and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you do get them where they kind of glance at the camera. So what do you have to do? When you've got the camera in your face, it must be difficult not to actually look down the
lens. Ignore it.
But where do you look? Because if it's there and you're talking to somebody, what, do you have to sort of pick an eye line somewhere?
Well, you look just underneath it, just look above it, or look just to the left or just to the right, but you don't look at it.
See, that's the bits I like. I always look out for the extras on stuff to see if they, like, do anything dodgy in the background.
This is where Ricky Gervais has got it absolutely, especially when he keeps trying a little slide to the left or slide to the right just to get in camera shot.
I think extras is brilliant. The other thing is, I know you follow him, obviously, on Twitter. Do you follow him on Twitter?
When I get a chance, yeah.
Yeah, along with the other 100 million that I think they're following as well. But he does come out with some stuff. You have to take things with a pinch of salt, really. But he doesn't care. He doesn't care what people say about him at all. Now, your website, Vic, WAGHORN.
That's it.
That's better. .co.uk. What's your Twitter handle?
It's @Vic_Waghorn.
So what projects have you got coming up for this year?
There's, well, we've got to finish off Ross's Boys. There's one or two pilots that I'm heavily involved in that I can't, unfortunately, talk about at the moment. And then there's whatever comes next.
Mm. And what's the dream for you? What would be, what's the dream for you?
To earn a living.
Yeah.
And just enjoy what I'm doing.
And what advice would you give? There's somebody out there now that might want to get into acting, or just, you know, they might be in their late 40s and they just want to do a career change.
What they need to do is think about what would make them happy. Then they need to think what they have to do to make that happen. When they've got that answer, do some research. But all this is going on whilst you're carrying on with what you're doing in the first place, because you can't do it without support.
Yeah.
You need support. I'm very, very lucky to be in a situation that I was in and still am. So, but you need support.
And very good afternoon to your lovely wife as well.
Oh, most definitely, if you're listening, Leslie.
There we go. We should be listening to the, when you play it back. I mean, she might not be listening live, but, you know, always have to, should have got that in the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
What I'll do is I'll put that at the beginning of the interview.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, because you can edit, can't you?
Yeah, I can edit. And you should be, oh, first thing he said when he got onto the radio.
Yeah, of course he was.
He gave
me
a mention. Thanks ever so much for coming in. It's been really lovely to talk to you. You will be back again, probably with Tracy in
June.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Lovely to meet you. I know you are quite shy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. It's because I speak to you on Twitter. I expect you to go, morning, when you came in. There's a morning, Michelle. And you were, I was like, oh, you're very... Yeah,
no, I just made you jump and a knock on the door.
You did. You frightened me. I don't know. Well, the thing is, I'm here on my own at the moment. I always get a little bit scared when people knock on the door.
Oh, is that what that baseball bat's for?
Yeah, that's just... No, it's just for guests. Normally, oh. I normally beat them to death before they leave the studio. That's what I normally do. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Absolute pleasure.
It's really nice to meet you, and we'll see you again with Tracy later on in the year.
I'll look forward to it.
Lovely. Right, just coming up to 11:53, but let's play some more music. Here is Space, and this is me and you versus the world. That's not how you spell versus. People on this system can't. They can't.